for a few reasons today. First, I'm excited because my friend Matt, who is a pastor, is here today. You may have seen him and his wife and their three kids coming, and I'm glad that you're here. Matt is a fellow pastor from Brandon Community Church of the Nazarene, and no, he's not just playing hooky, he's on his sabbatical. So if you guys would remember Brandon Community today, they're located in Ortonville doing God's work there. And just lift them up in prayer over your lunch, if you would, today. Just say a special prayer for the Baileys and for the Brandon Community Church. Would be great. The second thing I'm excited about has nothing to do with the sermon either, and that's that we're getting a dog today, so be praying for us. We're getting a dog, and he's 2 years old, and he's a golden doodle, and he's a good dog, and I'm very excited. The kids and I have met him, so have Alyssa. We're getting him from another pastor, so, he's a Christian. The third thing I'm excited about is to be continuing on in this series in the book of Ruth. We're going to look at more than just verses 6 through 22. We're actually going to look at the whole chapter today. Don't look back at the guy running the slides. He's not the one who put that up there. Keep looking this way. It's my fault. So, last week, though, we talked about the first chapter of Ruth, and we talked about the story of Elimelech taking Naomi during this time when the judges ruled, and everybody, it was really just kind of a lawless time in Israel. People just did whatever they thought was good, whatever was best for their family and their security. We talked, though, about the importance of committing to God, even in that type of a culture, and making space for the hurting among us and the power that it can bring. And today we'll kind of be continuing on into that second chapter to see how one man made space going above and beyond and how it can make all the difference, as well as looking at the life and actions of Ruth, the title character of the book, and some wisdom from an elder that we should all take heed of. But before we begin, there's two things I want us to consider. First, as you may or may not be aware, the law of Moses, or the law of the Old Covenant, required farmers not to reap to the edges of their fields, nor were they allowed to pick up their gleanings, any dropped crops. Say that three times fast. Any dropped crops. I'm not going to do it. They were not allowed to, and it says so in the law. This is Leviticus chapter 19. It's the same chapter where we first see the appearance of love your neighbor appear. So we know this is at the core of God's heart because it's in the same chapter, the same section of the law. And the reason was, in those verses, so that the poor would have something to eat. They needed to be able to harvest from the edges of the fields. They needed to be able to go through the fields and pick up the poor, the immigrant, the alien, the foreigner. We're at the core of God's heart. Even in the old times, God has wanted us to show love to one another, even at our own expense. And now, the second thing we need to remember is, even though God said this, this was a time nobody cared what God thought. People didn't really pay attention. This was the time of judges. This was the time when Israel would go along with the judges or the leaders of Israel for a little bit until they died, and then stuff just got worse and worse and worse. Judges says the people became even more corrupt than they had been before. Sounds like a great time to be poor or an immigrant when nobody really cares what God has to say about them. When nobody cares that God says, my law is to love one another. No, people were more worried about their own security, their own well-being, their own provision, building their own wealth, making sure they got the most out of every dollar, every crop. We would hassle the poor in the fields. However, not everyone had their own interests in heart. Not everyone was disobedient, and we're going to see the power of that. And we're going to see the power of some courage and bravery, as well as some individual aspects. So let's take a look at Ruth chapter 2 together, and then there's three things I really want us to focus in on. We could spend months in this book alone and still have more left to learn. So take and study it on your own at home, but for now, let's start here in chapter 2, verse 1. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does this young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked them, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. How you left your father and mother in your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley and she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah, which would have been a couple weeks of food for her and Naomi. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living or the dead." She added, "The man is our close relative and one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to all the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. And Lord, thank you for your scriptures. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open us up to them more and more, and breathe new life into them and into us through your power. Amen. So there are three things. Like, there's a lot going on. And I know that was a lot of verses to read all at once from the pulpit. And I appreciate you staying focused and reading with me there. And I appreciate that you are going to take and study this more at home to see what's even beyond what I could have given you this week. Because as I said, I could do this for months and we'd still have more to learn. But there are three things I want us to talk about. The first is honor in labor. These are just some principles for us as people who are following Christ. Honor in labor. We open up and we see Ruth going under the provision of the law to glean in the fields after the harvesters had come through. She shows deference to Naomi, saying, hey, may I please go do this? By no means was she actually really required, because her husband, Naomi's son, had died, to really ask for permission. This was just a respect thing, which goes to show Ruth's character. But she asked for permission to go and scavenge. Rather than sit and idly hope, oh, God will bring me something. God will change my situation if I just trust him and pray a little harder. Ruth gets up and says, you know what? God is going to provide for me. He has provided for me. Now I'm going to go get the provision he made for me. And I'm going to work hard to provide for myself and my mother-in-law, who is old and just having a hard go at things. I'm just going to get up and I'm going to labor. And so Ruth finds her way into Boaz's field, which seems like happenstance. Looking at the text, we don't see anywhere that God moved Naomi to this field. We just see it looks kind of random. But I think we all know that it's not random. We know that God doesn't do random. Even when we don't see it and don't understand, God is creating divine appointments to meet his mission. As we'll see in the next couple of weeks, just how this divine appointment met the mission. But Ruth got up, said, I'm going to work. I am going to trust that God will establish my path before me and create these divine appointments for me to walk in, and I will find a way to provide, knowing that it will be this new God that I have come to love and trust, that I am seeking refuge in. When I came to Israel, remember, Ruth said, your God will be my God. This is an act of faith, getting up and working. And this is an act of love, getting up and laboring for herself. Not sitting saying somebody else just needs to do this for me. Not sitting saying, oh, maybe if I pray harder, God will change things. But laboring. Like Ruth, we are called to be a people who labor hard for ourselves. What's the old saying? Idle hands are the devil's workshop, playthings, tools. All accurate. We need to be laboring hard for ourselves, and we need to be laboring hard for our families. We also need to trust that God is going to lead us as we labor, as we go, if we are looking to him to create divine appointments. Even though we may not recognize that it is God at work in our lives, we can get up and go and trust that he is working. Now imagine, how does that make you feel about going back to work? How does that make you feel about going back to your job? Looks a little better now, doesn't it? I hope so. Trusting that God has put you where you are for a reason. Trusting that this labor that you are putting in, God is going to use for your good and his glory. And when we trust God to lead us, and we get up and we labor, we bring honor on ourselves. We bring honor on our families, and we honor God in doing so. That's what Ruth has done. That's what we need to do. Labor hard for one another. Labor hard for ourselves and for one another while we trust in the Lord. Another thing I want us to look at here is the power in compassion that we see from Boaz. Now, the first verse here calls Boaz, the NIV translates it, man of standing. The Hebrew word is hayil, which has some various definitions. Hayil is actually one of the words, by the way, in the name for the Israeli Air Force, like how they say it. I can't pronounce the whole thing. Forgive me for that. But Hayil is actually in there, which can mean wealth or power or status. It can also mean of valor, of courage, of nobility, of character. So this Boaz was a man of Hayil. Let me hear you guys say that. Hayil. You gotta kind of clear your throat. Hayil. It's a good one. It's a good one. So we see he could be a man of wealth, power, or status. He could also be called a man of valor, of nobility, of character. This guy had multiple fields. He was probably a man of wealth. But what we also see of this man of Hayil is that he does have a noble character. And we see that right off the gate when we see him come on the scene. How does he greet his workers? May the Lord be with you. In this lawless time when people wanted to do their own thing, Boaz just walks right up and says, I hope God is present with you today. I hope God is protecting you. I hope God is guiding you in your work. I hope God is watching over you today. And he is recognized as a godly man because what do his workers call back? Those he manages who recognize his influence in their lives call back, and may God bless you. So we see this character on display from the very beginning. And it goes further into the chapter as we see how he treats Ruth. From the first moment he saw her, he didn't ask, hey, who's this chick in my yard? He says, hey, who does that young woman belong to? Who's she with? What are her relations? Who's watching out for her? Hey, is anyone caring for this young woman in our field? And then we see him kindly, generously offering her food, crops, rest, and protection. We even see him right here saying, hey, come over here. Saying, sit down, have some bread, and dip it in the wine. Now, who does that remind you of? Come, have some bread, have some wine, find rest over here. Sounds a little bit like Jesus 1,000 years before he even was on the scene. We know Boaz to be a man of character. And we see in that the compassion and generosity of saying, even going beyond, hey, take from the edges of the field and what the law is required for me to give you. He said, listen, take some out of what I've already harvested. Here is food from my personal table that was roasted grain for me to sustain. I want you to have this. My men, when they draw water, don't run all the way to the well and then have to work to get your own water. Take what's already there. Let us work hard for you. Take our labor as generosity and kindness and compassion because I know what you're going through. This guy, Boaz, went above and beyond the call of the law and the command of God to do what he knew God's heart was really after. And it was powerful stuff. And it was countercultural stuff in this day when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And so Boaz, who shows kindness through doing good, reveals God's character and his love, even to the point of going against the cultural grain. He goes above the minimum requirement of the law, which is exactly what we saw Jesus do when Jesus was here. And if you read chapter 4, you'll spoil the ending and really get the picture of why that makes sense. How can we do any less? How can we do any less than go above and beyond for generosity and compassion and kindness for one another, for a brother, a sister, a foreigner in the land. All Christians, all followers of Christ are called to go above and beyond. Just as he told his disciples, just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Whether it's with your time, money, goods, resources, actions, we need to follow Christ, and we need to follow the example we see here again in Boaz of knowing who God is, what his heart is really after, and then execute. Be compassionate and generous and kind with our actions, our giving, and our speech. Just as the example set before us that is praised highly as a man of noble character. The third thing here is the wisdom that we see from Naomi, which is wisdom that we need to heed. If you're young, if you're old, it doesn't matter. If you're middle-aged, stay in the safe place. Now, I know this sounds a little bit contradictory because I'm always telling us, take risks for the gospel. Go big or go home. Do whatever God is calling you to do. We talked all through Lent about risking our lives and giving our lives, embracing death for the cross. And now I'm saying stay in the safe place. Not quite the same. One of the first things that we should understand here, because these words were from Naomi, hey, listen, stay in this guy's fields and be protected. Naomi would have known what she was talking about when she told Ruth, don't go looking elsewhere for provision. You might get hurt. How did chapter 1 open? Naomi leaves with Elimelech to go to another man's field. She left the nation of God where his presence was and went to Moab, an enemy nation, and said, maybe the gods of Moab and the king of Moab will protect me where my own God has not. And it left her in ruins. She went away full and came back empty. And yet she has recognized this contrast that she is encouraging Ruth in, where Ruth went away empty. She went out to Boaz's fields hungry, poor, destitute, and yet came back full. And Naomi recognizes this as Ruth is coming in the door carrying enough food to feed them for weeks. Says Naomi, stay in this man's field. Don't glean from other fields. Naomi, stay in your lane. Because Naomi knows firsthand what it is when you leave God's protection and leave his will and presence. So for us as Christians, what does that mean? Because God is like Boaz, right? Kind and compassionate, generous, offering our souls protection and blessing when we are in his presence. Have you experienced that from him? I hope so. I hope you are experiencing that with him. And yet, we are so often tempted to go off and look for greener pastures, and all too often it happens. And we see it. As we've seen, even pastors have lost their pastorates over issues like marital infidelity, pornography, alcoholism, gambling addiction. We see good brothers and sisters, people who know God's protection, who have heard God say, stay and work in my field, stay and walk in obedience to me, look and go, oh, but there's something else out in the world that just looks so comfortable. Like it might provide something nice to me. Maybe it looks like there's something a little bit more than what we have right now. And so we walk into this other field and find nothing but trouble. So for those of us who have been through that, because I am one and I've made that no secret, it is our job to be like Naomi and warn our brothers and sisters, hey, and instruct our new brothers and sisters and even some of our longer standing Christian brothers and sisters and our children, stay in your lane. Stay in God's presence. Rely on Him. Walk in obedience to Him. Live in His fields. Reap the rewards. Reap the fruits of the Spirit. Don't worry about what the world has to offer. Just walk in God's paths. And you will be safe. Or safer than you would be in another field. And for those of us who haven't, be glad, be thankful, praise God for His protection over you. And for all of us, heed Naomi's words. Know the Lord, walk in Him, find protection for your soul, for your spirit, even for your life. Think of all the things that you could get into and all the trouble it would cause. And all the trouble you would save yourself if you just did what you knew was right. I'm not going to give too many examples because I think we all have pretty good imaginations here, don't we? We need to stay in our spiritual lane, so to speak. Know the Lord, trust in Him, walk behind Him, and stay in His fields where He provides so much for us, because our God is good and He provides us with these divine appointments for our good and our protection and for the good of others. We come to Him empty, like Ruth came to Boaz's fields empty, with no hope of salvation aside from what someone else can provide, from what God can provide. And yet, like Ruth, when we come and encounter God, we come empty. And how do we come away? If we're really meeting with God, we come away full. I want to challenge you, if you are coming away from an encounter with God feeling empty, examine your heart and examine that encounter. Because no one encounters Christ and comes away empty. He gives us every good thing. And what does He ask in return? Keep doing good. Just like Boaz encouraged Ruth, hey, here's stuff, go take it to your mother-in-law, keep doing good, and hey, stay in my field and work. God says, hey, all I want in return from you, just walk with me, be in relationship with me, love me, and keep doing good. That seems like a pretty easy command to follow by comparison to if you look through Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. The commands of Christ seem a whole lot simpler. They might be a little more demanding from time to time, but they are certainly simpler and frankly easier if we are walking in His presence. And so that's my question. How's that going for you? Are you trusting in the Lord for the divine appointments at your work? In the places where you labor? Because even if you don't go to a job, we all labor in some way, right? Whether you clean your own home, take care of your kids, your grandkids, your spouse, your parents, a dog, a cat, your garden. There's some labor. We all do something. Are you trusting God that He's leading and guiding and using that? Are you finding ways in that labor to be kind and compassionate and generous with others? The fruits of your labor that come in, or even with your labor itself? I can't tell you how you're doing. You can tell you, and God can tell you. That's the question we need to ask. And finally, am I looking to those other pastures and saying, oh, I know the right thing, but oh, doesn't that look fun? Oh, doesn't that look nice? Or do we recognize where we need to be? And that's good enough. And we're content because it's where God is. And all He wants for us is our safety in Him. Our security to be found in Him. So let's do that. Let's show God our faithful obedience to Him through how we speak, through how we give, through how we work, through how we call and encourage and labor for one another out of love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. And we thank You for providing for us, just as Boaz provided for Ruth. So Jesus, You came and You provided for us a way to the Father. And then Father, You provided for us Your Holy Spirit. Not just on one or two people at a time, but poured it out on the whole earth. You have given us everything we need to be successful and know You and follow You and stay in Your fields, doing Your work. Lord, where idleness and laziness would try and tempt us, call us back to work for You. Where we're not sure we're in the right place, Lord, if we are, calm our hearts and show us, I am creating divine appointments. You don't even need to know exactly what they are. You just need to trust in Me. Lord, where it becomes tempting to just do the bare minimum or not even get that high, convict us to do more and be more generous as You are more generous, as You are more kind. Because You have already been fully generous with us, giving us Your life, giving us Your presence. And Lord, when this world tempts us and our flesh cries out, step away from where God wants you to be because, hey, doesn't that look good? Remind us that there's nothing over there for us but trouble, even though things might seem to go well for a while. In the end, it will not be anything good. But if we stay in You, if we remain in You, if we walk in You, if we trust in You, You do something good in us. Lord, make us content just to be with You in Your fields with whatever we have, and that is enough. We love You, Lord, and we ask You to continue to walk with us and guide us this week. Lead us on. Continue Your sanctifying work in our lives. Jesus, it's in Your name that we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if you would stand and receive a blessing. May the God of compassion and love and kindness be with you, to walk with you and guide you. And may you be contented in Him. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace and have a wonderful, warm day.